helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. There are times when you hear something that you just can't believe it's true. Things you never thought possible could happen, or something that leaves you just so incredulous as to be beyond belief. You learn of this, and it seems the only response you can come up with is, "Are you kidding me?" I'll tell you what, everyday Americans, "Are you kidding me?" seems to be the statement of the day. Welcome to the Constitution Study. I'm glad you could join me because I'm looking at some stuff that just leaves me, well, I don't know if incredulous is always the right term, but it certainly is a shocking statement, shocking acts that I'm like, I can't tell if the person is serious or if they've just lost track of what's the, you know, sometimes what they're saying is beyond belief. Sometimes you'd think they'd be smarter. I will always remember the time when then Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked, when they were negotiating, where they were debating in the House, the Affordable Care Act, she was asked by a reporter, where in the Constitution Congress got the authority to write such legislation. I'll never forget a response. "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" I can't find the video anymore. I find that very interesting. But it showed the arrogance and the complete disregard for the supreme law of the land. Now, you'd think after that and some others, I would be, let's say, more immune to the antics of our so-called leaders in Congress. But it seems every time I thought they've fallen as far as they could fall, they fall even farther. For example, listen to this speech on the floor by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
"The U.S. government should demand that Israel conduct itself with a future two-state solution in mind. We should not be forced into a position of unequivocally supporting the actions of an Israeli government that include bigots who reject the idea of a Palestinian state. Israel is a democracy. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course?"
Now, I played that partially to give you some context of the statement I'm about to play for you. But remember, he demands that Israel capitulate to our will. He demands that they do things our way.
"At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel."
So he wants to compel, or at least influence, Israel into having an election? Is this the same man who said 4 years ago,
Russia attempted successfully to interfere in our elections. We cannot let any foreign country interfere in our elections, whether it be Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Turkey, or anyone else. That eats at the wellspring of our democracy."
So it's wrong when Russia, in his mind, although he was proven wrong, that when Russia, he believes, interferes with our elections, that's wrong. But when he tries to interfere with elections in Israel, that's fine. He is treating Israel as a vassal state, as if Israel somehow is under the control of the United States. Now, going back to the current quote, listen to this.
"At a time when so many Israelis have lost their confidence in the vision and direction of their government, I also believe a majority of the Israeli public will recognize the need for change. And I believe that holding a new election, once the war starts to wind down, would give Israelis an opportunity to express their vision for the post-war future."
I'm sorry, Mr. Schumer. Have you actually lived in Israel. See, you're standing on the floor of the Senate, surrounded by security, and you're acting as if you know what the Israeli populace wants. Talk about arrogance. Now, you may have an idea, you may have an opinion, you may have beliefs, which you do express in these, but how would you feel if Mr. Netanyahu were to call and say, you know, the America should have new elections because the idiot behind the Resolute desk currently is a dribbling, confused idiot? How would you feel? Would you be up in arms about someone interfering in our elections, interfering in our government? Let the Israeli people decide for themselves what things. Now, you want to decide whether or not the United States supports the current government. You are free to offer your opinion and you're free to offer legislation. But this nation building, this empire building is not only unacceptable, it's flies in the face of other things you've said. You get pissed off when people do it to us, but you're more than willing to do it to others. That makes you, that's more than two-faced. That's more than hypocritical. That's tyrannical.
Of course, the United States cannot dictate the outcome of an election, nor should we try. That is for the Israeli public to decide.
Oh, now you're realizing that there's something. Well, we can't dictate the outcome. We just want to dictate that it happens. We want to put you on notice that, what, you're going to cut off their funds? Hey, if you think what they've done is evil, again, put it to the American people, their representatives. Don't just stand there on your high horse and demand that Israel does something. If you think they've done wrong, put some legislation on the floor and let the people debate it. But you don't want that, do you, sir? You want your position pushed through, and you're willing to twist the politics to get the outcome you desire. At least that's what it seems like to someone out here listening to your tyrant spinning of yarns and tales. But we should never forget, America can decide American policy. It's the American legislature and our president help define American policy. They don't have a whit of authority over Israel or Gaza or any of these other places. Personally, I think Mr. Schumer's a buffoon about this because it's not Israel that's been preventing a two-state solution. It's been the Palestinian organizations. They're the ones that refuse. They're the ones that kept pushing back on the ceasefires. They're the ones that keep stealing the relief source, the relief products sent to Gaza. But yet you blame Israel for the bad actions of Hamas. You blame Israel for the Palestinians that support Hamas. Mr. Schumer, it was Hamas that brutally attacked Israel, that murdered, raped, and took hostage innocent Israeli civilians. And you have the gall, the absolute gall, to try to dictate to them their foreign policy? I certainly do hope Mr. Netanyahu tells you exactly where you can place your high-handed, high-horse, nonsense diplomacy to place people who attack and destroy innocent civilians ahead of the only democracy in the region, the one that has gone out of its way to protect innocents, not to place weapons in the vicinity of innocents, not to use them as human shields, not to bury them below hospitals and schools, making them targets. No. Israel, which has sent letters and texts and phone calls saying, we are going to bomb this place on this day. If you value your life, go somewhere else. I find it, what you said, sir, absolutely disgusting. And the fact that you once represented me when I was a resident, a citizen of the state of New York, gives me the creeps. Next, I actually want to switch to Canada, and I usually don't deal with foreign legislation, but there's a bill in Canada that gives me concern because it's the type of bill I expect to be introduced in the U.S. Congress one day. It's called Bill C-63. It's been introduced under Trudeau's current government. And the idea was to, they wanted to target content that was related to child sexual victimization, child bullying for punishment. But it seems they've gone a bit too far. See, there was analysis of this bill that is on Canada's official government website. See, the bill would target speech that foments hatred, incites violence, and incites violent extremism or terrorism. Now, okay, I'm not familiar with Canada's constitution. I know they don't have a First Amendment the way we do, but I do believe they have a charter of rights that includes the freedom of speech. Now, it sounds good. Oh, we don't want language that foments hatred, except who gets to define hatred? Who gets to define what considers fomenting hatred? Anyone else remember the truckers that were protesting the vaccine and mask mandates? They got labeled as fomenting, inciting violence. They had their bank accounts frozen because the government didn't like what they were saying. Do you trust them to regulate speech that way? What foments hatred? If I refuse to use a person's preferred pronoun, in other words, if I exercise my right to free speech and follow the English language, does that foment hatred? If I point out the irrational emotional disaster of transsexualism, is that considered inciting violence? If I disagree with, say, the Canadian version of Antifa, well, does that incite violent extremism or terrorism? The problem you have to watch out for is it sounds good on the surface until you look a little deeper. And again, the reason I bring this up is not because, I mean, Canada has lots of its own problems, but this is the type of legislation I expect to see more and more of right here in the USA. Part of the reason is when people have infringed on freedom of speech, and if we let them get away with it. Whether it's a First Amendment issue or a state constitution issue, we let them get away with it. Now, if I have listeners up in Canada, hey, here's fair warning. This is something you should be concerned of, because the maximum penalty for some of these crimes is life imprisonment. See, if they get to define as hate crime anything they disagree with, and you violate that, you can spend the rest of your life in jail. Remember, hate crimes. There is no such thing as a hate crime. It does not exist. It doesn't even exist legally. Hate, quote-unquote, hate crime is meant to enhance the penalty in the United States. I'm not sure, again, about Canadian law. But under this law, a hate crime includes crimes motivated by hatred on the basis of race, nationality, or ethnic origin, language, color, religion, age, sex, age, mental or physical disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity or expression. Does that mean if I disagree with that, it's motivated by hate? This has been the tradition in the United States and in Canada. And if it passes in Canada, how long before you figure some tyrant here down in the U.S. will try to pass something very, very, very similar? To call this Orwellian is, I think, not nearly severe enough. This literally is turning language on its head and using your speech, your beliefs, your ideas as criminal simply because they don't agree with the current agenda of the current government. That is a level of tyranny that goes far beyond what Orwell was warning us about. Now, if you want to defend freedom of speech and empower your voice, join Patriot Mobile today in upholding the First Amendment. At Patriot Mobile, they stand by the First Amendment. They ensure everyone's right to free speech. And you can join us in defending this fundamental liberty by joining the only Christian conservative wireless carrier in the country. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution. Find out how. They have great prices, great customer service, and they service all the same towers as the major carriers, so you get coverage wherever you need it. Use the code Constitution to check out, and you'll get free activation as well. So again, join us at Patriot Mobile by going to patriotmobile.com/constitution. Use that code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. Now, something else you may want to try. Again, I talk a lot about trying to stay healthy, trying to live a life where you're not sick and run down all the time. Now, according to studies, up to 87% of Americans are dealing with some form of metabolic dysfunction. With over 15 years of research, HealRight can help you reset your metabolic system without dealing with medications. They've got more than 20 essential micronutrients, proteins, and antioxidants in a treat. Imagine that, taking your vitamins and taking care of your body, not with pills, but with a treat. They come in a nice little two-pack. It's a nice treat at part of the day. It's not a meal replacement. It's the extra essential nutrients you need when you need that extra snack. So try HealRight today. Go to HealRight.com and be sure to use the promo code OUTLOUD when you check out. That'll get you 20% off your first purchase. Now, they've got a bunch of different flavors. My family has been trying. We like them. They're tasty little snacks. They're tasty little treats during the day. But be sure to use that code OUTLOUD when you check out. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, well, you get 20% off your first purchase. And while you're at it, please head over to constitutionstudy.com. You'll learn more about the Constitution Study and the work that we're doing. But I also want to ask if you check out some of my books. I've written a couple of small books, but I've written the Constitution Study, a conversational discussion of a study I did into the entire Constitution. It's not an academic study. It's conversational. It's easy to read. It's easy to follow. I also created a daily devotion. If you're having a hard time or you just want a reminder to read the Constitution every day, check out Read the Constitution in 30 Days. These are tools there to help you. And of course, if you have questions, please ask those questions. I love answering questions. You hit the little checkbox and I'll answer that on the radio if you want me to. You can find all of that and more over at constitutionstudy.com. I look forward to seeing you there.
Voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're looking at things that they just shock you. You go, are you kidding me? We started with Mr. Schumer and his desire to do to Israel what he claims that Russia tried to do to us back in 2020, in 2016, interfere in the elections. We talked about what Canada is doing. They want to criminalize speech. Well, let's take another tack. I got several of these, and I want to see if I can get them all to you. Now, I was born in New York City. I lived in upstate New York. I used to go up and down what's called the Hudson Valley regularly, which means I drove by West Point, the United States Military Academy. And that's important because as the trust in American institutions have fallen, the ones seeming to fall the slowest have been the military. The men and women of our armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Space Force now, these were the ones that we still trusted. We still held up. Even when the leadership, the political head of the military did such terrible things with the vaccine mandates, actually criminal things, since it was against the Uniform Code of Military Justice, for any military commander to require the taking of an unlicensed drug as a condition of serving in the military, the men and women of the military they've been held high in regard to the American people. Sadly, while the men and women of the armed forces still deserve, for the most part, our thanks and our gratitude and our consideration. I have another example of the leadership not being worthy that it would take to spit on them. Superintendent Lieutenant General Steve Gillen recommended that the mission statement for Westport Point to change. He wants to remove the phrase duty, honor, and country from the mission statement of this glorious, long-living stalwart of not just the United States, but her military, and even not just the Army. The idea of West Point, think of all the men and women that were West Point grads that have so impacted our lives. They all went into the academy, and they were drilled with the idea of duty, honor, and country. And now this lieutenant general wants that removed. He wants the idea of duty, honor, and country to no longer be a founding principle to the United States Military Academy. Now, this certainly is not the first time that the West Point, their motto, their mission statement was changed. In fact, the current version was adopted in 1998, and it's still considered foundational to the culture and of the military canon, and would remain the motto. But this idea of duty, honor, and country. Something that comes from the farewell address when General Douglas MacArthur delivered to the West Point cadets all the way back in 1962. He wants it to be removed. You know, this probably explains more than anything else the reason why enrollment in the military has been down the last several years. Because they haven't focused on duty, honor, and country, but in diversity, equity, inclusion. Forget being the pointy end of the spear. We need to make sure we reduce our carbon footprint. Forget protecting lives. Let's make sure we look the right color. To me, that's a sad day for West Point. It's a sad day for the U.S. Army and for the U.S. military as a whole. But it's truly a sad day for a country that our premier military academy is abandoning duty, honor, and country from their mission statement. It may still be their motto, but it is no longer their mission. And I want us all to remember, this is not the decision of the rank and file. They deserve our respect because they still uphold duty, honor, and country. But of Lieutenant General Stephen Gilland, I don't know if he was pressured from the White House or if this is his own idea. But you know what? I think he deserves all of the distrust and disgust we have for making such a decision, even considering removing the idea of duty, honor, and country from the military academy that has trained men and women that have sacrificed their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor to be willing to stand and defend the Constitution. It says a lot about the state of our higher military academies. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit under the theory that every cloud has a silver lining. Remember last year's spending bill? Well, apparently part of that required the administration to disclose to Congress exactly how much money it spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, apparently that report has been obtained by the Daily Wire, and the numbers may be shocking. According to this report, the Biden administration spent $77 million of your taxpayer money in 2022 and 2023 on DEI-related initiatives. However, these spending calculations apparently are based on, we'll call them narrow definitions of DEI. See, according to the disclosure, the spending went entirely towards DEI efforts in the Bureau of Global Talent Management, which states on its website that its primary goal is to sustain a diverse, talented, and exclusive workforce. Oh, by the way, this is just for the State Department. That's right, the State Department spent $77 million in just 2 years. And guess what? They expect to go even more in Biden's final year of his first term. Now, I think this relates to the previous story on West Point because, again, shows that a focus on DEI, on tearing America apart, rather than the job that people are actually hired to do, is not only costly, it's destructive. But not only is the federal government spending millions of dollars to divide our country, to place racism and greed, envy, ahead of things like justice and laws and whatnot. Well, they're actually using it to bribe cities. Now, I live in Tennessee. I moved here almost 8 years ago to get away from the type of shenanigans that we're seeing in some of these cities. Now, Tennessee is a great place, but there are three, we'll call them boils, on the lovely state of Tennessee. They are Nashville, Memphis, and Chattanooga. By boils, I don't simply mean we disagree politically. I mean, we see the levels of corruption and abuse that, well, I fully expected when I lived back in the Empire of New York. So right now, it was just announced that Nashville, Memphis, and Chattanooga have been selected by Bloomberg's American Sustainability Cities Initiative to receive taxpayer money, federal taxpayer money, not only to, I guess, provide more sustainable infrastructure, but to basically lobby for billions of dollars more. Now, the stated purpose of the American Sustainable Cities Initiative is to focus on creating economic equality and green energy jobs. See, well, the other thing about economic equity, not equality, equity, is basically saying we want to pay you more because of the color of your skin, and we want to pay you less because of the color of your skin. It's racist. It's not a question of what value do you bring, how much effort do you put in, what is the return on the investment in you as an employee? No, it's we're all we're worried about is the color of your skin. And green energy jobs is a joke, as I'll tell you a bit more in the next segment. I got a great one for that. But green energy jobs. You mean those green energy jobs that are polluting the heck out of the planet? You know, with all the mining for minerals and the disposal of old batteries and wind turbines that can't easily be recycled or have limited recyclability. How about the water necessary to clean off solar panels so that they work efficiently? Yeah, we don't worry about that. And we haven't talked about the birds that have been killed and whatnot. No, we're going to focus on green energy jobs. I wonder, is that really what Nashville, Memphis, and Tennessee need? Or is it simply the political pandering? Or better yet, just the money grubbing? You see, the reason that some $200 million over, I think, the next 3 years are going to be given to these cities is so that they can compete for $400 billion, yes, billion with a B, that Joe Biden stuck in the, what do they call it, the Inflation Reduction Act. This has nothing to do with reducing inflation. This has everything to do with depriving you of your money to promote an agenda that benefits others. You know, these millions and billions of dollars that are going to Nashville and Memphis and Knoxville, they weren't created out of thin air. Your children are going to pay for it because it was borrowed. These are loans. There is interest to be paid. And yes, the children in Nashville and Knoxville and Memphis are going to be some of the ones paying for it. And by the way, so are the rest of us. Now, I know the president of Nashville, he was on X. He's excited about all this because, again, it's more bribe money. See, this is money he can use to help bribe the groups to support him, to keep getting people to vote for him, because he's going to rob the rest of the American people to pay them off. And nobody ever bothers the fact that they're getting ripped off to pay off other people as well. Because let's face it, economic equity, ensuring economic equity is not a power delegated to the United States. Coming up with green energy jobs, not a power delegated to the United States. That means all of this money that's being spread around to bribe these democratic cities was embezzled from the American people. It was embezzled from you. From your family, from your children, from your grandchildren, even if they don't exist yet, because they're going to be paying off the loans that were necessary to borrow this money to pay off and bribe these cities to help keep them voting for the people in office. And oh, by the way, I almost forgot to tell you this. Remember that I was telling you you're going to be paying for this? Because once the Inflation Reduction Act passed, the national deficit increased dramatically. Consumer prices rose again, meaning inflation went up, which means you're paying more. And while the administration likes to tout that inflation is going down. It's still not down where it was before. And inflation is cumulative. Until you get to deflation or negative inflation, prices do not go down, which means you're still paying more for that gallon of gas or that loaf of bread, all so that these cities, well, not all, but in large part because so that these cities could be bribed with your money. Alexis de Tocqueville was right. This republic will stand until Congress figures out it can bribe the public with the public's money. And boy, howdy, have they learned that lesson. Now, I do have another break coming up, but before I go, you know, I don't know which side of the story you're on. I know from the media, we get one side of the story, and we rarely get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Well, here's your chance. General Flynn has a movie coming out in April, and he's going to tell his side of the story. And if you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie. That's constitutionstudy.com/FLYNNMOVIE. Watch the trailer, and if you're interested, buy a ticket. You can see them live, or you can they'll be streaming it online, but check it out. Agree with them or not, at least look at the trailer to get the see if you can interested in the other side of the story, or the rest of the story, as again, Mr. Harvey used to call all the time. Because we want to get news from multiple sources. We don't want to trust in one group to give us our information. That's why one of the things I do every day is go to AmericaOutloud.news for news and information. Because I get news from different viewpoints, from different points of view, from different people. And I think that's important to maintaining a balanced society, having a better understanding of the world around us. So please join me. Head to AmericaOutloud.news every day. Take the stories of the articles. Maybe the podcasts and videos, take the things that you find interesting and share them. Let other people know that there are other points of view and there are other ways of looking at things. And well, maybe if we bothered listening to other points of view, we'd have a less contentious society. So you can help people enjoy the blessings of liberty, help keep them safe and strong. Go to AmericaOutloud.news every day, share that information, and you're helping secure the blessings of liberty.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. HealthyCell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, we're looking at things that really is just jaw-dropping. We should be standing around going, are you kidding me? As I've said many times before, I was born in New York City. I lived there for several years as a young child. And in fact, my family in 1975 moved out of the city. Now, the reason we moved out was primarily economic. We had a business, my family had a business that required them to be in the city to do business, and then they sold that business. They didn't focus on it anymore. Because of that, they no longer had the need to be in the city, and since my grandparents already had land in upstate New York, they decided to move up there. So we're still in New York State, just not in New York City. In fact, I lived there till, into my fifth decade. But when I left New York State, I left for more than just economic reasons. Sure, I knew it would be cheaper to live somewhere else. But New York State was home. I had family there. My wife had family there. I had friends I'd known for decades there. But the corruption and the regulation just got to be too much, and I had to leave. Well, now we're seeing more reports coming out of New York City that people are leaving. And they believe it's for, other policy reasons. At one point, the city of New York had a population of 8.8 million people. That was early in 2020. Now, they're estimating it's down to 8.26 million people. And according to census data acquired by the New York Times, they expect to drop another 126 million people since 2022. So why this exodus from the Empire State, or I should say from the Empire City? Well, overall, according to E.J. Antoni, a research fellow at the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation, it's years of poor policymaking. Elected officials making poor decisions year after year after year after year. Mr. Antony told Epoch Times is, New York City is a victim of terrible decisions by its leadership, and what we are seeing is that the people who live there are now understanding that. In fact, it is difficult to find a public policy implemented by the state or city that can be pointed to as an example of doing it right. The streets are full of problems, crime is out of control, and the overall quality of life has gotten to the point where a lot of people are looking around and saying, heck with this, I'm leaving. Now, it's funny. I have a cousin who still lives in New York. He was born there, raised there. He plans to die there. I can't imagine him living anywhere else. Not saying it couldn't happen, but that's where he lives. That's his priority. But there are thousands of people that they've had enough and they're leaving. Now, in a classic example of trying to polish a turd, city officials push back, saying, well, the new census numbers don't fully account for the growing number of illegal immigrants, which would have resulted in a significantly smaller decrease in population being reported. Wait, that's your answer? It's not that New York City sucks so much that the people who have lived there are leaving. It's that, we've got people here illegally, and they're coming to the city mainly because we invited them. So that makes it not as bad as it sounds. Tell me, how many of these illegal aliens, most are not illegal immigrants, but illegal, how many of them are gainfully employed? How many of them are paying taxes into the city coffers? And how many of them are draining the city coffers? Because according to Mayor Adams, they're going broke just trying to house and feed all the illegal aliens that have come to their city. They're begging DC for money to help pay for all of that. And you know what? That may be part of the reason why so many Native New Yorkers are leaving. Not the illegal aliens. It's what it's done to the city. The higher crimes, the soaring costs, the overall decrease in the standard of living amounts to more and more reasons for people to leave. Now, Queens Borough President Donovan Richards made an interesting point. He said, the challenge we face is the affordability crisis. We have to do something about the cost and supply of housing. Well, that's true, but let's face it. What happened in New York City is a self-inflicted wound. You stop making bad policies, things will get better. But if you're in a hole and you keep digging, things aren't going to get better. They're only going to get worse. Now, I told you in the last segment I had a green energy point, and, you know, sometimes I just have to laugh. Either not only because if I don't, I'll cry, but it's one of those things I never thought of that. It's just another nail in the coffin of this green energy nonsense. See, there's a 2022 study from the UK-based Emissions Analytics Group, and they found that during a one-mile journey, electric vehicles release 1,850 times more pollutants into the surrounding environment than gas-powered vehicles. I said that right. Electric vehicles emit 1,850 times more pollutants than gas-powered vehicles. How could this be? Well, it comes from the fact that electric vehicles, or EVs, they're heavier than gasoline-powered vehicles, significantly heavier. That means they put more wear and tear on the tires and on the roads. See, when we think of emissions, we often think of, well, what comes out of the tailpipe. But tire wear plays a significant role in emitting pollutants, according to this group. The reason why they explain is because, well, the synthetic rubber used to create tires, well, they include certain chemicals that get released into the air. And because EVs are significantly heavier than conventional cars due to their large batteries, they emit more pollutions. See, overall, it stated that EVs weigh about 30% more than gas-powered vehicles and cost thousands more to make and buy. These issues are in addition to the fact that they are not suitable in colder climates, such as northern U.S. and Canada. They offer poor range and long charging times, especially in cold weather, and have batteries that take tremendous resources to make and are hard to recycle. So just another example of the lie of these green of EV vehicles being green. They're not. When you take into consideration the mining necessary for the lithium and other chemicals in the batteries, the damage they do to highways, the pollution created to create the electricity that eventually goes into the electric vehicle, these things are toxic. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. This latest one with the tires, I had never heard of before. But we've known since their inception that electric vehicles are not the green energy we keep, the green transportation we keep being told they are. Yet how much money is being spent in the US, Canada, and around the world promoting these vehicles as if they're going to solve a pollution problem? They are making the problem worse. I'm not saying there's not a place for electric vehicles. I can see lots of situations where an electric vehicle may make more sense than a gas-powered vehicle. But this panacea of we just get to electric vehicles and everything will be fine, it's a lie. You know, it's interesting. When I moved to Tennessee, I met with my state senator and my state rep. And I asked them, what were your biggest concerns, you know, now that I'm new to the area, what are the biggest concerns that you're dealing with here locally? What was interesting is they were concerned about electric vehicles because if you're using an electric vehicle, you don't pay gas tax. Where are they going to get the money to maintain the roads? I had an interesting discussion with them about that. But now we find out that not only do electric vehicles not pay gasoline taxes that are often used to maintain the roads, but they're more damaging to the roads than a gasoline-powered vehicle because they're heavier. Just another example of good intentions being the pavement on the road to hell. And yes, that pun was intended. So here we are. We have, in this case, a number of to me, I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but shocking pieces of information. They're not there. There are plenty more. These are just the ones I pulled up for today's episode. But I want to do more than just shock you. There are plenty of people out there that throw out information to shock you. I want to take some time here at the end of the episode and think about what these statements, these articles, these news items I found, what do they have in common? I mean, they seem pretty different, you know, from, you know, Schumer to Nashville, from, you know, I don't know, the Canadian anti-free speech law to Native New Yorkers leaving. What do they have in common? Well, I guess the only thing they truly have in common is they seem to come from a place of, I know better than you do. This idea of, I know better how things should be. Schumer thinks he knows better how Israel should handle this problem, even though he's been shown to be wrong over and over and over again. The Canadian government thinks they know better what is and is not hate speech, when it's been easily shown that what they really mean is some speech that they don't like. Maybe speech that challenges their assumptions or their positions. They find that hateful. The use of federal funds to promote an idea that a lot of people, I believe, truly find abhorrent. But those who know better, or at least those who think they know better, well, they want to promote it, whether it's racism, sexism, or just plain crazy ideas. We see this over and over and over again, this desire to assume, I know best, and then fight as hard as you can to divert any challenges to your assumptions. This, ladies and gentlemen, is part of the human condition. At least it's part of the human condition in the 21st century. I'm sure there have always been people who thought they knew better. I think the difference is there were relatively few that thought they had the right to force their will on others. Maybe there just were fewer that had the ability to force their will on others. But what we see is this partnership between political agendas and people in government to impose their will on others. And we really shouldn't be shocked about it. We shouldn't be shocked by the idea that men are not angels. But as James Madison said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. And if angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place oblige it to control itself. I think the part that we miss here is the control of government, the recognition of the limitations on their power, and our authority to enforce those limitations through our compliance, through our challenge, through our vote. You know, there's been a recurring theme in a lot of the comments I've been receiving lately. The theme of the American people being powerless. That comes from a lack of understanding and a lack of will, in my opinion. The understanding that the Constitution, when it created the federal government, also empowered the American people to oversee it. And the courage to look a difficult situation in the eye and be willing to pay the price to do the right thing. You see, it's not like the movies. The good guys don't always win. You don't get to read ahead in the script and find out what the outcome is beforehand. You have to be brave enough to do your duty and leave the results up to somebody else. And if you get the results that you want, great. If you don't, you don't give up. You keep doing your duty because, well, that's your duty. Sure, doing what is right, standing up, may cost you greatly. I remind you that those who signed the Declaration of Independence committed treason. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the cause of independence. Some of them paid. Some of them didn't. But they were willing to risk. And I think it's our lack of willingness to risk punishment that's allowed those evil men, those anti-angels, to not only enter government, but to lead us to a path of our own destruction. They don't feel obliged to control themselves because the American people never seem to hold them accountable. Now, I hope you piqued your interest today. I hope you'll come back and join us for the Constitution Study at 4 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, that's okay. All my episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on Talk Radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. I keep an eye on, I watch over time the trends of listens and downloads and people who are hearing it. I have to say, the numbers are greater than I expected. But I still would like to see more. I'd love to have more people exposed to these ideas. And one of the ways you can help, subscribe to the show. It lifts us in the ratings so that more people are likely to find us. And you can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But as I keep reminding you, knowledge is not power until it is put into action. You have some knowledge. You have some information. Are you willing to share them? Share with friends, share with family, share online. It's not the number of people you share it with. It's not your following that makes a difference. I found it to be true. The act of sharing does more than just share information. It changes something in our hearts. And by doing so, we share more than just news and information. We truly do share the blessings of liberty.